You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
She's got moxie, and she knows how to use it. Your late night, highly caffeinated host, the one and only smoking Argus, Allison Brenner.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in tonight. We have an excellent show, as always. But we have an especially excellent show because I've been trying to talk to this gentleman for a number of months. But he's got some really good news reports to report. So I'm really excited to speak with him. My guest this evening is Dan McCall. He is the owner of Liberty Maniacs. He's an artist, designer. He founded the brand, which libertymaniacs.com. Excellent website. As a graphic nerd myself, some of the best, funniest t-shirts, just excellent artwork. Highly recommend you check it out. Dan McCall, welcome to the Allison Bricker Show. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Allison. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it? It's been a few months, but it's great to be on with you tonight.
It is, you know, and I'm just happy that the show has lasted long enough for me to say that it's been, you know, it's been a while that I've had to try to reschedule some guests, and I know we missed the first time, but I'm so happy that you were able to join me this evening. And what is the good news that you can report to the audience this evening, first out of the gate?
Yeah, well, The good news is that I actually, after a few months of sort of wrangling in court and getting to the bottom of the NSA actually using their authority through cease and desist orders to take down some of these designs that specifically dealt with the NSA and the Department of Homeland Security, we finally took them to court and they sort of submitted. They rescinded their original cease and desist and actually got the letters today, which I was happy doing my little happy dance today. And I think I sent those to you earlier, or I notified you just as I was receiving them. So the designs that I had been literally making a federal case out of ended up being free to post and sell and no longer sort of banned by these two sort of rogue agencies, the way I look at them. So it's been a happy week. It's been a happy day today, and I'm very, very happy to announce that that we at least in a small way we won one for the First Amendment and for free speech.
Right. You know, you're the only person that I know that I can say that Dan McCall fought the NSA and Dan McCall won. I mean, because I read those letters and it's just hilarious. I mean, how awful it must be for the person or the secretary that had to draft it, right? Because it really is a tail between the legs letter rescinding their cease and desist order. I mean, how they seriously tried to make a case, and I don't know how much you can get into now that it's been dismissed, but sure. They seriously tried to say you were what? They your graphics were somehow supportive and receive the endorsement of the NSA? They really tried that line in court?
As phenomenal as it sounds, those were the arguments made in the cease and desist from the NSA. What they cited as as the authority to do so was a very old law that was actually a part of the statutes that that were created back in the 50s, actually late 50s, that created the NSA. And one of the statutes in there that they were using was that you had to literally have the written permission from not just the NSA, but the director of the NSA to use the letters NSA, use National Security Agency or the seal or anything on anything that you could sell. Now, anyone that's been to Washington, D.C., knows that if you walk the mall or you go anywhere throughout, you're going to find White House, you're going to find NSA shirts. There's going to be vendors all over the place that, of course, didn't get, you know, specific written, you know, permission from any of those places to do. And over and above, of course, these are taxpayer-funded agencies and entities that we more than paid for these things. We're, under the argument, we're supposed to own these things, right? So it was an incredible incredible cease and desist order. Now, it took a while to actually figure this out. It took a lot of digging from my lawyer, Paul Allen Levy, from Public Citizen. He approached me when I was notified that these designs had to be taken down. And once we got digging into it, it just got stranger and stranger and stranger. And initially we thought, you know, this had to be something that was just a mistake, right? A bean counter, a bureaucrat, someone had just sort of pushed this, and a phone call or something like that could basically change this. But, you know, once we dug into it and when we actually found how you know, it seemed to be afraid that the distributor and supplier was that was carrying this and that was notified by the NSA, it just got stranger. So
interesting. So then you're telling me that you don't obviously produce the shirts, you just come up with the graphics. So even your suppliers, your vendors, they receive the same letters.
Yeah, they did. They did. One of the one that we cited, and actually it was in the suit, we sort of, they weren't a party to the suit, but we sort of did it on their behalf as well, because they were sort of arbitrarily targeted for this thing, as it appears, through some of the other vendors that we use. We found out that they had never, as far as we know, received any notification from the NSA. So it's very strange that this one vendor was targeted. But it took a lot of digging to basically get to the bottom of it, because of the strong arming that these agencies have. You know, we literally could not even get, in fact, just today, one of the other letters that I got was the original cease and desist. These companies, or this company specifically, was so afraid that they would not even send the cease and desist. They ended up dictating it to my lawyer and his staff over the phone, verbatim, but we never got it. So
that is incredible. That's the chilling effect, ladies and gentlemen, of the NSA spy state. Wow. I have to ask you, Dan, we're speaking with Dan McCall of LibertyManiacs.com. Excellent t-shirts, bumper stickers, coffee mugs. Check them out. Dan, did you have a chance to do any discovery? Did you find out how they became aware of this t-shirt? Were you able to track down at all through the process of, like, who ratted you out or how they came to even realize this t-shirt existed?
It's actually an interesting thing, because through discovery in the site, through the case and going through the site and the merchant that we were using, we found out that the original cease and desist actually was sent in 2011. And I wasn't notified of it. It was never, no one ever told me or let me know. I searched all my, all my documents, couldn't find any notification of it. And it was just because of a mug that they had discovered, the NSA legal had discovered, that said, the NSA spying on you since 1952, which was the year that they were founded. And it was just on a mug, actually. It was the only product, and no one ever knew about it. So it wasn't until actually June 6th, days after the Snowden revelations came out, and I made the NSA shirt that kind of people may or may not have seen, that kind of says, peeping while you're sleeping, the NSA, the only part of government that actually listens. After I posted that with the vendor, I got notified that it had to come down. And then through discovery, we found out that there was a few things that had to come down. And then we actually found out that the Department of Homeland Security had likewise, in 2011, entered a cease and desist against us on a different sort of authority, different statute that they were using, basically a defacement of agency symbols, which is a very strange Orwellian, especially because the what I did in that instance was take the Homeland Security label, their logo, and turn it into sort of a goofy eagle wearing a dunce cap, and it just made it the Department of Homeland Stupidity. So obvious parody, and there's absolutely no doubt that these were classic parodies where you essentially take the imagery of an entity and turn it on itself, right, to make a comment or make commentary on it. So absolutely infuriating and very strange. And so, it wasn't until last year that we found it, and it wasn't until, of course, October when we ended up filing the suit.
Well, that is incredible in itself, because then it brings up another question. So your vendor hadn't even notified you then that they had been notified to stop selling these products? And if so, was there any way to figure out how much product sales you lost or how much business you lost to this, not knowing about it for so long?
It's a great question. Certainly, there has to be a lot of sales that were lost. When we were kind of determining what we were going to do in this suit, which named both the NSA and the DHS in it, we kind of talked about, well, what the heck, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to determine how many sales? And it really was impossible because of that chilling effect. I mean, because this vendor was so afraid to even give us the cease and desist, we really couldn't get to the bottom of some of the books and actually how many other possible designers that were affected by this thing. So it was a very strange thing. And in the end, we decided not to sort of, this case wasn't, it wasn't as important to get remuneration for that as it was to definitely clarify where we all stand in terms of using art or whatever to criticize the government in general and specifically these things.
Dan, hang on just there. We're going to go to a commercial break. I'm speaking with Dan McCall, founder of LibertyManiacs.com, and we're speaking to him about his lawsuit against the NSA and the NSA's chilling effect. You're listening to the Alison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. We'll be right back after this commercial timeout. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. I am, of course, your host, Alison Bricker. And in case you missed the first segment, we are speaking with Dan McCall of LibertyManiacs.com, who actually received cease and desist letters both from the Department of Homeland Security and more recently, apparently, the NSA. I received a couple messages from Facebook saying he was too low and there was a buzz in the audio, so I've reconnected with him. Dan, can you still hear me okay?
You're coming in good. Can you hear me all right?
Excellent, yes, and I hear absolutely no buzz. So,
great. Okay, good.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about lost business and stuff. Had you had a chance, did your lawyer look through their privacy policy? Was there any obligation of this vendor to notify you that they had suddenly put a freeze on your merchandise or specific artwork?
Typically, that's the case. Typically, that's the case where when they do something like that, if there's any issue or question about the terms of use of both the website in regards to any imagery or any products that are on their site, they would typically notify you. In this case, I don't know that they necessarily have a distinct contractual obligation to do so. And it would certainly seem to me in this case that that chilling effect, that possible fear that they had, would have been one of the reasons that they may not have. Or I have no information that would say that the NSA directly told them not to do this or anything like that. It was just basically a very curious thing in my view, largely because I've been working with them for so long. They have a very vibrant community of independent artists on there and brands and everyone from Disney to whomever. And years ago, I was one of the first sort of independent artists that signed an agreement with them and signed on with them and sort of started to build a mutual business and partnership with. So it was very strange. And that's when I sort of knew in this case that something was very wrong. These were people that I was very close with, had worked with for years, and when I inquired about this situation, it was dead silence. It was a wall of a silence, really, and I knew something was up because it just was not right. So that's when I finally decided to work with a lawyer and really get to the bottom of it. And so I'm glad I did because without doing that, who knows what would have happened or how far this would have gone. Especially with other artists and in a sense now, the NSA and DHS, I mean, it seems like they're having, one bad news cycle after the other because of their encroachments on our liberty. And so who knows, they obviously felt obligated or not obligated as much as felt powerful enough to sort of use these silly statutes to sort of aggress on us. So, who knows what would have happened. I'm certainly glad that they're forced to back down now, largely because of the public outcry over this issue specifically. So
right. I mean, you gained national media attention, and I can't help but wonder if those statutes, I would imagine they are, because I've been around at least studying liberty long enough to remember a time when the NSA wasn't even acknowledged. Like, that was part of a conspiracy theory that they were a non-existent off-budget agency. And so with the advent of the Gutenberg press of the 21st century, this little thing we call the internet, it has made, it has brought them to light. And now I remember your graphics, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember seeing your stuff from like 07, 08. Were you with the company you are with now then?
Yeah. In 2007 actually was sort of the inaugural year for my relationship with Zazzle. That was when we sort of signed our original agreements, and I did work with others, but I did actually sign a Liberty Maniacs to an exclusive deal with them for a while, and so we had a long, you know, they sort of grew as we grew, and so it was a great relationship. So very strange, yeah. I mean, it's in terms of this internet thing, and I mean, that's an interesting aspect of it as well, because, you know, especially in those early years, and I, you know, started, you know, over 10 years ago, kind of making Ron Paul stuff and things like that. And that's one of the reasons I did it online, is because, you know, back then, and we kind of can say back then now because of the Liberty Movement, I think, has grown so much and become such an amazing
thing. Oh, it has.
It
so has. And we are really racking up victories. And like you, I mean, you are a tremendous victory for Liberty. And it was peaceful.
It's peaceful. It was a fun thing. You know, I'm always kind of say that, you know, we don't necessarily have to go and look for fights, because so many of them come to us, you know. But, you know, I was raised, and I think a lot of people are, at least in the Liberty Movement, and maybe not as much as it used to be. But, you know, when someone comes and they pick a fight with you, you try to come to a resolution with, you know, you try to come to a resolution. And if they keep on doing it and they don't back down, well, you got to stand up for yourself. And I think at least this, and, you know, certainly not maybe a landmark case or anything like that, but it's at least an instance where the little guy stood up for himself. And we can kind of chalk up a little victory for the First Amendment. So, I'm very gratified with how this ended up. And, you know, hopefully some of these other questions that I think could even be larger can start to be handled, too. In some ways, you know, I was very happy to have a settlement with the NSA and DHS. But, you know, also it would have been nice to even further clarify, you know, the issues of, you know, is it, you know, can we even use this, the label of the NSA or the logos and stuff like that? Isn't that, you know, our stuff if it's taxpayer funded? Isn't this public use issues? Aren't these something that we already established?
No.
Fair use?
You're missing the point. Dan. You're just a slave on the federal plantation.
Right.
All those wages. The wages belong to the plantation masters, which is the federal government. Now they let you keep a percentage of it, but don't mistake their benevolence of allowing you to keep some as you having ownership in that money.
Right. Well, that's so true too, and I think this, it shows that a little bit. I mean, the only reason I still believe, and I've said this numerous times, is that this. The settlement happened was because people stood up and were awoken by it. By their own recognizance, they would have never backed down. They would never have admitted what they did wrong, because they didn't. They had ample opportunity and ample questions offered to them, and they never backed down until it was actually brought to court, and they had to be forced by, I guess, you know, I would say public shaming in a way, to say, yeah, I guess you can make fun of us. You know, and how sad is that, in my view? I mean, it's, you know, I'm a dad of three little boys, and, you know, how sad is that in, right now we have to, you know, that would even be a question.
Well, if they're not doing anything wrong, they shouldn't fear being mocked, right? I
mean, right. It's kind of turning it back on themselves. You know, nothing to fear if you have nothing to hide, right?
Right, that's
so,
what they always tell us.
You know?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I'd imagine it's probably no, but is there any part of the lawsuit that you are not allowed to talk about? Can you confirm or deny? Is there any gag order at all? Did they totally just back down and that's it?
Yeah, no, they backed down. I mean, and that was part of the thing is that, you know, we essentially issued basically what our sort of demands were, And then they went back and forth a couple times. And certainly, you know, I certainly believe that this is a public record thing. And that's why I try to post the documents that I've been getting online so people can read them themselves and sort of wrap their heads around the dimensions of it. Because it's not, there's some complexities to it because there's third parties involved and things like that. But I think generally the flavor of the issue is pretty straightforward. It's a First Amendment issue. I can pretty much, I feel at liberty to say just about whatever I want about the case. I've been kind of waiting for it for a while, yeah.
Right. Yeah, totally. Did they at all try to say, like, you know, can you maybe not do a bunch of interviews? Because you were doing national interviews, like, while the case was going on, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to what I was thinking. I mean, this case... And that's why I'm really thankful for all the, you know, support people have offered and all, you know, people buying the shirt as a piece of civil disobedience. I thought it was important that the only way that this thing was going to turn over was if enough people got behind it. Because and I think that's what they were really sort of hoping, was that, you know, this thing would go away. Maybe a few people would talk about it or go on a blog or something like that, and then it would kind of go away. But I knew it was important to talk about it. And I was, you know, if I was going to win this thing and I was going to, you know, get a resolution that I thought was fair, that it was important to talk about it and important for people to know what was going on. So, I was, you know, I don't, you know, people joke, if I had a nickel every time someone gave me a joke about what might happen because I'm messing with the NSA and the DHS, I'd probably be rich. But so far, you know, everything's been pretty kosher, I guess. And
right,
nothing's really happened, but yeah.
Dan, can you hang on over the bottom of the hour news break? I'd like to know what's next for Liberty Maniacs.
Sure. Thanks, Phil.
Excellent. We're talking to Dan McCall, owner of LibertyManiacs.com. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour news.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for staying tuned over the bottom of the hour news. I know that's kind of a long commercial break. We are speaking with Dan McCall, founder of LibertyManiacs.com. Dan, thanks for hanging on as well over the bottom of the hour news. So what's next?
Oh, no problem.
What is next for LibertyManiacs.com? And are you a single person shop? Is this like your baby? Or do you hire more additional artists? What's next for you guys now that this is behind you?
It's been pretty much a one man show in terms of the art and stuff on Liberty Mania. It's kind of been my baby in terms of creating all the products and stuff like that. But that's one change that I think that will come along. In a lot of respects, we'll kind of keep on doing what we're doing, and I'll keep on making some of these designs. But I think, you know, in the future, that's kind of been always my goal and kind of my dream is to make it more of a platform for a lot of different artists. There's so many great artists out there and people out there that have something to say. And I really kind of, you know, as much as I can explore sort of building a platform for allowing other people to be able to do that and have a place that's very liberty friendly and I think remains independent where other people can express themselves. So that's something I'm really excited about. And in that regard, I mean, one of the things I've also learned from this and I'm doing right now is that I'm going to start doing a lot of the production in-house. I'm going to start, whether it be the printers here, you know, in Minnesota or you know, what have you, a lot of this stuff is going to be set up so that basically if anything like this ever happens again, and a cease and desist letter is sent from any agency, from the IRS or whomever, anything like that happens, I want to be the one that gets the cease and desist. I want to be the one that's protected, and I want someone to actually come and say, hey, we're going to shut you down to my face. Dealing with these, with these other merchants has been great, and it's been allowed me to do a lot of things and access a lot of people and give, you know, customers and clients great access to a lot of different products. But that's one change that I think we're going to move ahead with is doing some stuff in house. So I'm very excited. Hopefully shortly we'll have a lot of new news about that and some exciting things to talk about in terms of what's new for Liberty Maniacs. But in general, I think it's going to be important to continue on with these themes and make it a place where people can find some liberty-friendly stuff and deal with different issues and find stuff that, I guess, you know, ever since I started, I wanted to make stuff that I liked and that I thought really wasn't around. So, you know, over the years, I tried to fill that niche as much as possible and been really happy to see you know, all the support for it. So, like I said, the Liberty Movement has been raging for years now, and it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger. And I'm just always just excited to look towards the future.
Wow. Well, I have to say you are very extraordinary. I always wondered how many people, if any, outside of you were doing the artwork, because, man, you're prolific. And it sounds like you probably read The Art of War during your lawsuit time, because, yes, protecting your supply lines, right? Protecting your supply lines from the enemy. In this case, the overarching federal plantation. I think that's definitely a wise choice. Have you also looked into, like, a .bit domain?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be looking at a lot of different things. You know, I'm looking at a lot of different things because, you know, as you well know, there could be a time when, especially with some of these laws that have been coming down the pipe, whether it be SOPA or PIPA or these other things, you know, these alphabet soup legislation that they're coming out with constantly, and you know, if we don't fight back, this stuff is going to come down, you know, or maybe, you know, God forbid, it's too late and they just push it down our throat. But, I mean, it comes down to a situation where it could happen where, without even a phone call to you, your site's taken down, or you get issued a letter that says, well, we got to take you down, and they go right to your service provider and knock you right out. I mean, that's one of the interesting aspects of this, and I think one of the reasons that the merchant in this case was afraid, because if they didn't take these jokes down, essentially, they could lose their whole business, and the government could have taken them down. And thousands of other people would have been out of work and out of their daily incomes or their monthly income. So, so looking at a lot of different ways to sort of protect myself and protect maniacs and keep on rolling, definitely going to be looking at that. Yeah.
So then you've heard of the .bit domain, and how familiar are you with it?
Not terribly. I mean, I'll be looking into it. I mean, the whole idea of sort of having a backup. Having something that can thwart sort of this crazy authority that has this, you know, immense power to sort of shut you down if you don't conform and sort of toe the line. And anything, you know, any of these technologies and sort of systems that we can do that is amazing. I don't know a ton about it, but I'm certainly willing to learn more. That's for sure.
I know. I had Michael on last week, I think it was last week, and he gave Daily Paul Radio a .bit domain, and I was just floored by that whole concept too, like that we can develop an internet outside of the control grid, because it's interesting. In fact, we'll talk about it probably coming up in the second hour on the show tonight. DHS has just been forced through a court order to reveal the reasoning that they want a kill switch. That they had been basically trying to squash, like even talking about why they wanted the kill switch, on what grounds. And a court is going to force them now to reveal that. So the fewer links of chain we can have between the consumer and the business owner, because that's government's game, right? Extortion. And there's so many chain links along the line of production, whether it was, you know, Zazzle or whoever, the people that made, you know, if Zazzle stood strong, maybe they'd go after the actual cotton, you know, t-shirt making factory. And that's really a shame. And that's why the internet is so liberating.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's one of the reasons, the main reasons I always thought, you know, as the internet was growing and it was the ability to do commerce and to connect on the internet grew. In some ways like my panacea. I mean, it was an amazing thing, because there's always a way to get around it. There's always a way there, you know, it really is tantamount to, in a lot of ways, is this sort of almost approaching the notion of total freedom, right? And good and bad, but we're starting to see that the amazing, amazing good that allowing people to sort of access information, to communicate and to do commerce and all these great things on a free network can do, and it really changes the world. So, anything that keeps that engine going, anything that can keep that network alive and vibrant for our kids and their kids, is an extremely important thing. Especially as I'm sure you've talked about many times, is you know, as the NSA and these other agencies are able to access the data, finding out ways to get around that and to create firewalls, I think will be a really interesting sort of battle over the next probable generation. You know, so yeah, it's an interesting, still a frontier, and it always amazes me every day.
It's definitely a cat and mouse game. It reminds me of my father,
right,
who was like a truck driver. He was constantly buying these things called, what are they called? They tell you when police are coming when you're in a truck or whatever.
A radar
detector,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And it was constantly, he had to keep getting a new one because the technology would bounce back and forth.
Right.
And that's what this reminds me of, like trying to get around the NSA. So does LibertyManiacs.com, are you currently accepting Bitcoin? Is that something else that you're planning to do or...?
Yeah, that's kind of something, you know, and it obviously, like, cryptocurrency over the past few days, and, you know, it's going to take its dings like it has here with Mt. Gox and stuff like that going down. But that's definitely those types of things. That's one of the reasons I want to start doing things, having more control over that stuff, is so that, you know, we can offer, you know, purchasing, like anonymous purchasing through Bitcoin, things like that, where people can feel confident that not only they're sort of supporting the sort of commerce that they want to, but also in a way that is they feel comfortable doing. So I'm really into that. And because of the partnerships that we've had, that really hasn't been a possibility. But, I think the frontier of what's going to be possible, hopefully, if we keep on it, is really exciting in that regard.
So is this something where, like, 3D printers could really – is that something you're looking at? Is that a technology that's applicable to, like, screen printing these kind of T-shirts, or is that – or some sort of other printing,
yeah,
or does that factor into your production?
Yeah, I mean, not yet, but I mean, it's amazing. You know, I sit back with my kids, and we're homeschool family and all that stuff. So that's kind of one of our things.
Wow, you are a domestic belligerent. Wow, you are so on the list.
Sort of living the dream, I guess, in that regard.
Right on.
Or crazy, but yeah. But that's one of the exciting things. You know, we sit back with the kids. We don't have one yet, but we've been shopping for one. Like, ooh, we need to get one of these so that you can make your own Legos. And already seeing sort of these print-on-demand sort of networks of people that are putting stuff out there and being, you can purchase 3D art and stuff like that, printed out at home. You know, I'm really interested in the frontier of that, because I think that's definitely going to be sort of a very interesting space commercially and in terms of people's freedom. I mean, I remember last year was the big hubbub about, you know, and it still is really the 3D printed gun. And what that means to liberty and to resistance and stuff. And yes, we're, you know, we're non-aggressive principle type people in general, you know, most of us. But in terms of what that does to the dynamic of what you can do and personal freedom, it's a pretty interesting dynamic. And when you can basically create anything at home, that just makes me crazy. It's really exciting.
I love that you mentioned Legos. I thought, wow, that would be so awesome. I want to go back to the 70s when a 3D printer. God.
Oh God, can you imagine?
How much fun I could have.
Jetsons, right?
That is amazing. Now, I don't really, most Minnesota, what's your nickname? Are you guys Gophers? What is the nickname for people from Minnesota?
Yeah, we're supposed to be the Golden Gophers. I went to the University of Minnesota, and then I actually went to St. Cloud State, too, which is about an hour north. So we're the Huskies, but yeah, we're the Golden Gophers back then, yeah.
Right on. Now, is there a big Liberty contingent up in Minnesota? I always think it's just so dang cold, which you guys have all sent down
it
to
is,
Indiana
yeah.
this year. Thanks. We've got all your weather down here.
Yeah, you're getting a taste of it.
We are.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And actually, the area where I live is actually one of the – had been and still is really sort of probably the hardest Ron Paul-type libertarian vein areas in Minnesota and probably the Midwest, in the upper Midwest. So, there really is a strong contingent. In fact, in 2012, the sort of Ron Paul faction and Liberty factions took over – their caucus for the Republican Party, strong roots. And, you know, it's a very interesting state politically. The dynamics of it up here are wild. You know, we're the state that elected a pro wrestler, Jesse Ventura, as governor years ago. And then we have these sort of vast swings in terms of sort of the ideological stances on our senators and stuff like that. So it's an interesting mix here, but it's a hearty bunch up here to last.
You better believe it. And I say that, you know, Dan, I say that about the whole Midwest. They can keep calling us flyover country all day long, but look, you know, we're not basking in 70-degree weather like 360 days out of the year. We're hearty Midwesterners. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of folks.
Right.
Keep underestimating us here. You know, we are the breadbasket.
We are, you know, and none of this stuff would happen without the good old Midwest, right? So,
absolutely,
we're proud Midwesterners, right?
Absolutely, and definitely go Blackhawks. Do you guys have a hockey team anymore? You do. You have the Timberwolves or something, don't you? You always beat the Blackhawks.
Oh yeah, we got the Timberwolves. We got the Twins. Yep, we've got the Wild as our. We don't have the North Stars anymore. They went down and went to Dallas, but we got the Wild, and we, you know, in terms of sports, we kind of have the same result, it seems, all the time, our pro sports and all that stuff, and college sports and anything else. But like I said, you have to be hardy here. You have to take your lumps living up in Minnesota.
Yeah, I guess you guys get a lot of practice shoveling snow. I mean, we've had negative 50, which I have looked in the past on the weather map, and I have seen oftentimes negative 50 wind chills in upper Minnesota and through the whole state.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, God, that's cold. We got to experience it this year. So what are you working on, anything like in a post-celebration graphic of your success in I Fought the Law and I Beat the NSA? Are you working on some kind of special graphic to release here soon?
I'd like to. I've been doing a lot of concepts, and we'll see what I do. I want to continue on with the issues of the NSA. I think those are definitely that's a theme and just a whole bunch of different issues involved with that in terms of privacy, in terms of kids growing up today that just really don't have any sort of idea of what privacy is in the way that we understood it growing up as slightly older people. So, you know, a lot of the revelations that are still coming out dealing with it, and actually, you know, dealing with this whole issue of privacy and kind of dealing with the whole Snowden issue, where he stands and really sort of, you know, I'm definitely a believer that Snowden needs to be recognized for what he did. And so I've been working on a few things with that. And, you know, just kind of keep on going. Nothing specifically right now in terms of doing any bragging rights or anything like that. but just kind of keep it along and trying to make some relevant stuff that people enjoy.
Right on. Well, I know we're coming up towards the top of the hour. I just have a couple other questions. So you mentioned Edward Snowden. So where do you come down? Are you with Rand Paul on this, or are you with Ron Paul? Because Rand says he should sit in a jail cell with Clapper.
Oh, no. I'm completely with Ron Paul on this. It's not further. You know, I think that, surprising or not, I think that when someone lays down sort of their life in a very real way to do something that's right, and specifically as much as I understand this issue to, you know, the way he did it and what's come to light, I think someone should be lauded. And the word hero is often pushed out there, and some people cringe whenever the word hero is put out there, because I think oftentimes it's put out there in our, you know, in our society now in ways that is worthy of cringe. But in this case, I think that he's definitely a hero in that regard and for what he did. And I definitely respect him. In fact, I've been, you know, involved in some degree to, you know, to sort of bring to light some of this stuff using art and stuff like that. So, I'm going to be continue to kind of do that. And, you know, not some things I can't quite say about that, right now, but
right on
going forward, hopefully I'll have some exciting, stuff on that too. So,
well,
yeah,
hey, don't
I definitely
ever
think that,
Dan, don't ever discount yourself. You know, printers are very important in, you know, the peaceful revolution. And we're just about out of time, but I want to give you a chance. What's the best way to access your work?
Oh, right on libertymaniacs.com. Go right on there, and you'll find a whole gamut of things that I've been making for you know, over 10 years, I guess. And hopefully you'll enjoy, get a laugh, and maybe enjoy a shirt or a poster or whatever, and find something your friends or loved ones might enjoy. So that would be the place.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your excellent news here with my audience here on the Allison Bricker Show. We'll have a podcast of the interview here probably before midnight tonight.
Oh, super. Well, thanks so much for having me on, Allison.
All right.
Had a great time.
Thanks a lot, Dan. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is my interview with Mr. Dan McCall of LibertyManiacs.com. I can't really say enough. I've always been a fan of his artwork. It is absolutely excellent. But he's right. There are more and more news stories every single day that we can talk about because the Liberty Movement is having success after success after success. And I want to get into a couple of those when we come back from this commercial break. It will be abbreviated because we ran a little bit long. I do want to say thank you to everyone out there because DailyPaulRadio.com has now crossed over 600,000 visits for the month from 38,000 unique IPs. So thank you very much. Hey, you're listening to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.